Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're hard to hear.
I know. I'm going to go on mute because I have a different phone. And it's not.
No problem.
Okay.
We're waiting for other people. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Serura Alephit Gimel Yusat Tati Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbenu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Sheyhud Fa Givavat Sham Rem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkacha Tamid Gamlem Betetresh Saritav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adatav Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim Yachid Gea Lamcha Penei Zokre Kiddushata Vid Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Dalumot Shin Kufal Tzadiyud Taf. The letters of the month of Kislev, the Gimel that created the planet Tzedek, the planet of righteousness, the planet Jupiter, and the Samach that created the constellation Keshet, which is the astrological sign of Sagittarius. Together, the Samach and the Gimel have a gematria of 63, which connects us to the Sephirah, the energy store of Bina. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we will separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohe Wahe, Adonai Yohe Wahe, El Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Apayim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet, Notzeh Chesed L'Alafim, Nosei Avon Vahesha Vichata Vinake. We're going to now read the verses that we read that connect us to the various years' energies. And we're going to start with Elishem Yehud. The first year that we're going to connect to is this year of 5777, the year of the goat. And we're going to start with Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. I'm getting quite a bit of static, so please mute your phones by pressing star 6. When you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can just press star 6 again. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Barichu Ishkinte Bithilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Le'achda L'shem Yehudhe Bevavhe B'yichudah Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Konenehu Tzad Tzaduni Katzipor Oyevayechinam. This verse has five words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to create three additional Hebrew words. Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letter of each word, we're able to permutate it into Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of sentence, set tenets. These five newly created words and the translations of these words clearly relate to the energy of the goat. The year 5777. There's another verse that connects to the energy of 5777. It's Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Since this verse has the name of the year concealed within it, separated by seven letters each. The name of the year, Tavshin Lein Zion, is concealed within this verse. Ki im ba Adonai Yehovahe Eloheichem hadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, has two verses that connect to that energy as well. The first of these verses is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka Kohanim Ayulimat Willo Yachlu Lahavshit Et kol ha'olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha'levi'im ad kelot amlacha v'yad yitkadshu ha'kohanim ki ha'levi'im yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei La La Hei Wa 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 Yo La Yo Wa La Me Hei 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 Aka Al Reikacha. The second of the verses that connect to 5776 is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Tzaddikim, who left this day, the 18th day of Kislev, I'm not able to read from my computer right now on that particular page, so we'll just go to the 8th verse of the Anna B'Koach, which we say in a whisper. Today's today's handout is available on the unique astrological events link, which is available on any Yeshem webpage. Underneath the two pictures on the right, there's a link for unique astrological events. When you open that up, you can scroll down to where it says the holiday of Hanukkah. The first link under that will open up, and you'll need to scroll down about a third of the page to where it says Hanukkah rituals. That's where I will commence reading. Hanukkah is celebrated with a series of rituals that are performed every day throughout the 8-day holiday. Some are family-based and others are communal. There are special additions to the daily prayer service, and a section is added to the blessing after meals. And I am adding that there are special readings dealing with the tribes and the astrological impacts from the Torah during each day. This is only done by the Kabbalistic minyans. Most minyanim do not do special Torah readings. We will arrange to have those readings each day on the conference call, commencing a week from today. Hanukkah is not a Sabbath-like holiday, and there is no obligation to refrain from activities that are forbidden on the Sabbath, as specified in the Shulchan Aruch. Adherents go to work as usual, but may leave early in order to be home to kindle the lights at nightfall. There is no religious reason for schools to be closed, although in Israel, schools close from the second day for the whole week of Hanukkah. Many families exchange small gifts each night, such as books or games. Fried foods, such as latke, which are potato lamp pancakes, jelly donuts, which is sufganiyut in Hebrew, are eaten to commemorate the importance of oil during the celebration of Hanukkah. Kindling the Hanukkah lights. Each night throughout the 8-day holiday, a candle or oil-based light is lit as a universally practiced beautification of the mitzvah. The number of lights lit is increased by one each night. An extra light called a shamash, meaning attendant or sextant, is also lit each night and is given a distinct location, usually higher, lower, or to the side of the others. The purpose of the extra light is to adhere to the prohibition that's specified in the Talmud against using the Hanukkah lights for anything other than publicizing and meditating on the Hanukkah miracle. This differs from Shabbat candles, which are meant to be used for illumination and lighting. Hence, if one were to need extra illumination on Hanukkah, the shamash candle would be available, and one would avoid using the prohibited lights. Some light the shamash candle first and then use it to light the others. Others light the shamash after the others. So altogether, including the shamash, two candles are lit on the first night, three on the second, and so on, ending with nine on the last night for a total of 44. 36 excluding the shamash. And I am adding, both these numbers are significant, yet traditionally only the 36 is discussed and remembered. 36 represents the revealed tzaddikim, while 44 represents blood, the source of life force energy. The tzaddikim add to the life force energy of the blood of the people in the world. The lights can be candles or oil lamps. Electric lights are sometimes used and are acceptable in places where open flame is not permitted, such as a hospital room, or for the very elderly and infirm. Most Jewish homes have a special candelabra, referred to as either a Hanukkiah, which is the modern Israeli term, or a menorah, which is the traditional classical name, or the oil lamp holder for Hanukkah, which holds 8 lights plus the additional shamash light. Since the 1970s, the worldwide Chabad Hasidic movement has initiated public menorah lightings in open public places in many countries. The reason for the Hanukkah, for the Hanukkah lights, is not for the lighting of the house within, but rather for the illumination of the house without, so that passers-by should see it and be reminded of the holiday's miracle, the triumph of the few over the many, and of the pure over the impure. Accordingly, lamps are set up at a prominent window or near the door leading to the street. It is customary amongst some Ashkenazi Jews to have a separate menorah for each family member, whereas most Sephardi Jews light one for the whole household. Only when there was danger of anti-Semitic persecution were lamps supposed to be hidden from public view, as was the case in Persia under the rule of the Zoroastrians, or in parts of Europe during and before World War II. However, most Hasidic groups light lamps near an inside doorway and not necessarily in public view. According to this tradition, the lamps are placed on the opposite side from the mezuzah, so that when one passes through the door, he is surrounded by the holiness of mitzvot. My commentary. The Kabbalah teaches that there is a stream of Shefa energy called the Or Ganuz, the hidden light. Tradition teaches that this Or Ganuz is the light that was created on the first day of creation. When one lights the candles, one makes connection with this light and draws it into their homes or wherever the candles are sitting. This is why the Kabbalists disagree with the Chabad organization, who makes a grand celebration in public, including open spaces. The Chabad Rebbe, who was a top-flight Kabbalist, felt the public exposure was worth the potential abuse of this light. Generally, women are exempt in Jewish law from time-bound positive mitzvot. However, the Talmud requires that women engage in the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candles, for they too were involved in the miracle. In the practice in Orthodox households, only the males in the household are obligated to light the menorah. Candle lighting time. The Hanukkah light should burn for at least 1/2 hour after it gets dark. The custom of the Vilna Gaon, observed by many residents of Jerusalem as the custom of the city, is to light at sundown, although most Hasidim light later, even in Jerusalem. Many Hasidic Rebbes light much later, because they fulfill the obligation of publicizing the miracle by the presence of their chassidim when they kindle the lights. Inexpensive small wax candles sold for Hanukkah burn for approximately 1/2 hour, so on most days this requirement can be safely ignored. Friday night presents a problem, however. Since candles may not be lit on the Shabbat itself, the candles must be lit before sunset. However, they must remain lit until the regular time. They must be remain lit at least 1/2 hour after sunset. So it is necessary to use longer candles on Friday night or to use traditional oil lamps so that they will burn at least a half hour after dark. In keeping with the above stated prohibition, the Hanukkah menorah is lit first, followed by the Shabbat candles, which signify its onset. Blessings over the candles. Typically, three blessings are recited during this eight-day festival when lighting the candles. On the first night of Hanukkah, you recite all three blessings. On all subsequent nights, they recite only the first two. The blessings are said before or after the candles are lit, depending on your minhag and your tradition. On the first night of Hanukkah, one light is lit on the right side of the menorah. On the following night, a second light is placed to the left of the first, and so on, proceeding from right to left, over the eight nights. On each night, the leftmost candle is lit first, and lighting proceeds from left to right. My commentary. If you are unable to find a copy of the Hanukkah blessings, you can ask me for a copy. I will send a PDF file. Many copies of the blessings follow a pattern of using the similar bracha to Shabbat. On Shabbat, the last words we say are Shel Shabbat. On Hanukkah, we avoid saying the word Shel, so that the last three words are Lichadlik Ner Shabbat, not Lichadlik Ner Shel Shabbat. The first letters of these three words form a triad that relates to healing. Lamed Nun Shin. If we were to say Shel, the Shin of Shel would interrupt the connection to the triad for healing. Most people do not know this and say the blessing, losing the Kavanah opportunity and the connection of healing. On the handout, you'll see a link to meditations for the saying of any blessings. And then click your back button to return to the deeper meditations for the Hanukkah blessings and the Ner Yehudim, which we will discuss and teach Monday night this week, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. During the half hour that the candles are burning, it is customary to do some spiritual actions and watch the candles, songs, playing dreidel, Torah study, the exchange of gifts, including Hanukkah gelt, for the children are all considered spiritual actions. Below are the words of some Hanukkah songs. One song is called Hanerot Halalu. During or after the lights are kindled, the hymn Hanerot Halalu is recited. There are several differing versions, and the version presented here is recited in most Ashkenazi communities. I'm not going to sing them because I don't always remember the tune, but you can find it on YouTube. Another traditional song is Mao Tsur, the Rock of Ages. And this song is usually sung after the lighting. And it contains six stanzas. The first and last deal with general themes of divine salvation. And the middle four deal with events of persecution in Jewish history, and praises God for survival. Despite these tragedies, the exodus from Egypt, the Babylonian captivity, the miracle of the holiday of Purim and the Hashmonean victory, and a longing for the days when Judea will finally triumph over Rome. There are other customs like the dreidels, which is a gambling game. But it's also a game that was used, a technique that was used to fool the Romans about the celebration of Hanukkah. Because when some Roman soldier would see someone playing dreidel, they would ask what they were doing, and they would be told it's a gambling game. Whereas, in fact, it was related to the victory over the Greeks. There are special additions to the daily prayers. An addition is made to the Hoda'ah, the Thanksgiving benediction in the Amidah, called Al HaNisim. It's about the miracles of both Purim and Hanukkah. The section regarding Purim is said at the time of Purim, and the section regarding Hanukkah is said at the time of Hanukkah. You will find a translation of the Al HaNisim about the miracles. The same addition is added to the grace after meals. The Torah is read every day in the Shacharis morning services in synagogue. And on the first day, it begins from Numbers chapter 6, 22. And on the last day, ending with Numbers 8:4. Since Hanukkah lasts 8 days, it includes at least one, and sometimes two, Jewish Sabbaths. The weekly Torah portion for the first Shabbat is almost always Miketz, telling of Joseph's dream and his enslavement in Egypt. The Haftorah reading for the first Shabbat is from Zechariah. When there is a second Shabbat, the Haftorah reading is from 1 Kings. The Hanukkah menorah is also kindled daily in the synagogue, at night with the blessings and in the morning without the blessings. The menorah is not lit on the Shabbat, but rather prior to the beginning of the Shabbat, at night, and not at all during the day. During the Middle Ages, Megillat Antiochus was read in the Italian synagogues on Hanukkah, just as the Book of Esther is read on Purim. It still forms part of the liturgy of the Yemenite Jews. Zot Hanukkah. The last day of Hanukkah is known as Zot Hanukkah, from the verse read on this day in the synagogue. Zot Hanukkah HaMizbeach. This was the dedication of the altar, according to the teachings of Kabbalah and Hasidim. This day is the final seal of the high holidays, of the high holiday season of Yom Kippur, and is considered a time to repent out of love for God. In this spirit, many Hasidic Jews wish each other Gemar Chatima Tova. May you be sealed totally for good. A traditional greeting for the Yom Kippur season. It is taught in Hasidic and Kabbalistic literature that this day is particularly auspicious for the fulfillment of prayers. I want to give you some additional comments about this idea that it is the sealing, the final seal of the high holiday season. The tradition teaches that on Rosh Hashanah, every human being is judged. On Yom Kippur, that judgment is sealed. And on Hoshana Rabbah, it is handed to the angels to implement. The Kabbalistic tradition is that the angels are instructed not to implement the decree until after Hanukkah, after Zot Hanukkah. And they are able, people are able to do teshuvah and repent up until Zot Hanukkah, so that this last day, this day of the sealing of the high holiday season, there are a lot of additional prayers that people say, a lot of teshuvah, a lot of tikkunim, all of which is related. I'm now going to start reading this section called Symbolic Importance. Many people define major Jewish holidays as those that feature traditional holiday meals, Kiddush, holiday candle lighting, etc. And when all forms of work are forbidden, only biblical holidays fit this criteria, and Hanukkah was instituted some 2 centuries after the Bible was completed and canonized. Nevertheless, though Hanukkah is of rabbinic origin, it is traditionally celebrated in a major and very public fashion. The requirement to position the menorah or the Hanukkiah at the door or the window symbolizes the desire to give the Hanukkah miracle a high profile. The classical rabbis downplayed the military and nationalistic dimensions of Hanukkah, and some even interpreted the emphasis upon the story of the miracle oil as a diversion away from the struggle with empires that had led to the disastrous downfall of Jerusalem to the Romans. Some Jewish historians suggest a different explanation for the rabbinic reluctance to laud the militarism. First, the rabbis wrote after the Hashmonean leaders had led Judea into Rome, into Rome's grip, and so may not have wanted to offer the family much praise. Second, they clearly wanted to promote a sense of dependence on God, urging Jews to look forward to divine protection. They likely feared inciting Jews to another revolt that might end in disaster. A commentary. Most people don't realize it, but the Hashmoneans invited Rome to come into Judea to protect their kingdom from the enemies of Egypt and Syria. And this invitation was really a mistake, because they were depending on secular powers instead of Hashem, who will always protect us. But we have to realize that. We have to understand that. And that is one of the miracles of Hanukkah, and one of the reminders associated with the lighting of the candles for the love to connect to the Organus. Continuing to read. With the advent of Zionism and the State of Israel, however, these themes were reconsidered. In modern Israel, the national and military aspects of Hanukkah became, once again, more dominant. In North America especially, Hanukkah gained increased importance, with many Jewish families in the final decades of the 20th century, including large numbers of secular Jews, who wanted a Jewish alternative to the Christmas celebrations that often overlap with Hanukkah. Though it was traditional among Ashkenazi Jews to give gelt or money, coins, to children during Hanukkah, in many families this has changed into gifts in order to prevent Jewish children from feeling left out of the Christmas gift giving. While Hanukkah is a relatively minor Jewish holiday, as indicated by the lack of religious restrictions on work, other than a few minutes after lighting the candles in North America, Hanukkah in the 21st century has taken a place equal to Passover as a symbol of Jewish identity. Both the Israeli and North American versions of Hanukkah emphasizes resistance, focusing on some combination of national liberation and religious freedom as the defining meaning of the holiday. There is a lot of different Hanukkah music, and I'm not going to go through the names or speak of them. There is a link to one of those songs. And I'm not even going to discuss the various Hanukkah foods, which there's also a section on this page. There is a description of the rules of the game of dreidel. And there is a discussion of the Hanukkah gelt, which has become gold-foiled chocolate in modern times. I'm going to read the section titled Hanukkah and Kabbalah. Each law of the Hanukkah lights, the halakha, is created to subdue a force of foreign darkness. This is the traditional Kabbalistic teaching of Hashem created this opposite this. Hanukkah represents a conflict, a victory over the Greeks, and the Greeks and the children of Israel.
Hello.
How are you? Come on in. Hold on 1 second. Thank you.
No. Not calling.
Understand. Thank you. Yeah, it was wonderful. You take care. Thank you. I'm back. As I was saying, the Greeks represent secular powers. The Greeks represent the Western world, Western culture. The Greeks represent mind. It represents the head of Esav, actually, who is buried in the cave of Machpelah. I'm not going to go into that midrash that explains how the head of Ishmael was buried in the cave of Machpelah along with the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their wives. The children of Israel represent spiritual powers, represent Hashem's ascendance and control of the physical world. This conflict continues today. It's always been there. The energy of the Organuz, is to provide us the strength and the techniques and the power to overcome this secular innovation. Yes, the pleasures of the secular world are important. We need to struggle to always remember the spiritual aspect of those secular powers. I'm reading the section titled Defeating Darkness. The rabbis taught the mitzvah of the Hanukkah candle is to place it in the outer part of the doorway of the house. This is when the door of the house opens onto a public thoroughfare. But if it opens onto a private yard, the candle is to be placed by the front gate of the yard. Rashi comments that the reason why the candle should be outside is to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah. Unlike Tosafot, Rashi deems it sufficient to set it by the door of the house, even when the door opens onto the yard. Where in the doorway do we place it? At the left side, so that the mezuzah is to the right of the person lighting, and the Hanukkah candle is to his left. The tur, which is a halakhic work from the 12th century, writes that if for some reason the doorway does not have a mezuzah, the Hanukkah candle should then be placed on the right side. We must try to understand why the most important thing is for the Hanukkah candle to shine towards the outside, either the public domain or to the yard. Unlike the mezuzah, it has no intrinsic connection to the door of the house. 2. What is the significance of placing the Hanukkah candle on the left side? 3. Since the Gemara states that the reason the Hanukkah candle is placed at the left side of the doorway is in order to be opposite the mezuzah on the right. This indicates that there is a relationship between the two objects, and only when there is a mezuzah is the candle placed at the left. Otherwise, it is put on the right. And what is this relationship? Before we can understand the above, we must first consider the verse, for the mitzvah is a candle and the Torah is light. Just as physical light is generated by a candle, the light of Torah is generated by a mitzvah candle. Without the candle of the mitzvahs to dispel the darkness, there can be no light of Torah. Through the mitzvah candle, we obtain the Torah light, which is the inner light of the essence of Hashem. The source of light that has to shine below in order to transform the spiritual darkness of this world into light. I suggest you reread this paragraph. Briefly, the explanation of this is as follows. Mitzvahs can be performed only with physical substance. For example, tzitzit, the talit fringes are made of wool. The four species waved on Sukkot are physical plants. And a mezuzah is written on physical parchment. Through doing mitzvahs with physical objects, we can transcend the separateness of the physical that we perceive with our senses and realize our true nothingness in order to God, to relate to Hashem. That the created existence is nothing, and the Creator is the true existence. Then godliness can be revealed through us and to us. When we meditate upon the word, on the verse, I, God, have not changed, a prophecy from the book of Malachi, we understand that the apparent change during creation from spiritual into physical through the concealment of the spiritual is only from our perspective. From God's perspective, however, there is no darkness or concealment of his infinite light. We contemplate further and we intellectually realize that even from our perspective, there is no darkness and no concealment. There is only God's infinite light. Thinking about this truth evokes within us an intense desire to actually experience it. How can we accomplish this? Through the learning of Torah, the embodiment of God's wisdom and will in this physical world, and through fulfilling the mitzvahs, God's inner will, especially when we do so with joy. Now we can understand why the Hanukkah candle is placed outside the doorway on the left side. The Greeks defiled all the oil in the temple chambers. Wisdom is compared to oil. The Greeks wanted to contaminate the wisdom of the Torah with their intellectual wisdom. The positive wisdom of the Torah brings about a level of self-nullification that enables the one who learns it to fulfill Torah and mitzvahs and generally be a good person. On the other hand, the negative wisdom of the Greeks brings the one who learns it to feel himself to be a separate existence. He does whatever he wants to do, rather than what God expects of him. The Greeks wanted to neutralize the positive wisdom, the true reality, with the negative wisdom, the perceived reality. They wanted to make the Jews forget that the Torah is God's Torah, and to deny God's existence by not allowing the Jews to do the chukim, the statutes, those mitzvahs that are decreed by the Torah which cannot be understood and rationally justified by human intelligence. The Hasmoneans, the Maccabees, overpowered and defeated the Greeks through their complete devotion to God, to the extent that they gave up their lives, their existence, to reveal God's existence. The idea of the mitzvah of the candles, you can see above. We've already discussed it. Afterwards, they instituted the lighting of the Hanukkah candles, which is the same idea as the Torah light. The Hanukkah candle is a revelation of the light of the future redemption, the light of the essence of God, the light which automatically dispels and transforms the darkness. This is why the Hanukkah candle must be placed outside the door, facing a public area. The outside, the domain of the public, outside the door, facing this public area. The outside, the domain of the public, reflects the idea of plurality, of separate existence. The Hanukkah candle contains the capacity to light up even the realm that represents a denial of God's existence and a rebellion against him. This darkness is automatically nullified by the light of the Hanukkah. As a commentary, we need to realize that this separate existence, this physical world, has a purpose. And we learn this by lighting candles. Because when we ask, where does the darkness go? When we light a candle, when we turn on the light, and the answer is, the darkness goes into the light. It becomes part of the light. And this is the true understanding of how to balance spirituality and physicality. The source of the negative forces is the left side, the left column of the tree of life. The Hanukkah candle is placed on the left and shines towards the left. It lights up the negativity, the darkness of the left side. Rashi rules that it is permissible to put the Hanukkah candle outside a front door that opens to a yard. The numerical value of the Hebrew word for yard, chatzer, is equivalent to that of the Bina Gevurachot, understanding, severity or judgment, and splendor. The three divine attributes, the Sefirot of the left column, when they are... Therefore, whether the Hanukkah candle faces the public domain or the yard, it still accomplishes the same thing. The effect of the Hanukkah candle being placed on the left is operative only if there is a mezuzah fixed on the right. Mezuzah is considered equivalent to all the mitzvahs combined. The mezuzah on the door of a house shows that everything in the house is nullified before God, that everything in it is for the sake of God. It is on the right side, the side of holiness, the right that attracts. It brings the physical close to the divine and enables it to be nullified before God. Thus we see that the mezuzah expresses perfectly the idea of the mitzvah candle. First, we need to have the mitzvah light of the mezuzah on the right, and then we can have the Torah light of the Hanukkah, the Hanukkah candle on the left. If there is no mezuzah on the right, we put the Hanukkah candle on the right, because it is also a mitzvah. In such circumstances, placing the Hanukkah candle outside on the right is enough to reveal the light of Torah. Judith and Holofernes. The eating of dairy foods, especially cheese, on Hanukkah is a minor custom that has its root in the story of Judith. The Book of Judith, which is not part of the Tanakh, records that Holofernes, an Assyrian general, had surrounded the village of Betulia as part of his campaign to conquer Judea. After intense fighting, the water supply of the Jews was cut off, and the situation became desperate. Judith, a pious widow, told the city leaders that she had a plan to save the city. Judith went to the Assyrian camps and pretended to surrender. She met Holofernes, who was smitten by her beauty. She went back to his tent with him, where she plied him with cheese and wine. When he fell into a drunken sleep, Judith beheaded him and escaped from the camp, taking the severed head with her. The beheading of Holofernes by Judith has historically been a popular theme in art. When Holofernes' soldiers found his corpse, they were overcome with fear. The Jews, on the other hand, were emboldened and launched a successful counterattack. The town was saved and the Assyrians defeated. It's important to realize that the symbolism of the beheading is relating to the wisdom of the Greeks, which is intellectual. And the carrying back of that wisdom, that head, by Judith, female, connected more to the emotions, more to the intuition, is all helpful in understanding the holiday of Hanukkah. The last part of our handout gives you the historical timeline. I'm not going to read the details of that. but I am going to read my commentary. The Hashmonean kingdom is the first time in the history of the Hebrew world when the political leadership and the spiritual leadership was in the same person or family. The only other time in history that this happened is when permission was given to write down the oral law, which is the Talmud. In the case of the Hashmonean dynasty, this combination is considered by Hebrew historians to be a mistake. It is important to have three leaders splitting the responsibility of spiritual, political, and judicial powers of government. As an indication, the last section of the handout is titled Green Hanukkah. And as a consideration and as an indication of how Judaism continues to change, continues to have greater interpretations with each generation. Some Jews in North America and in Israel have taken up environmental concerns in relation to the Hanukkah's miracle of the oil, emphasizing reflection on energy conservation and energy independence. An example of this is the Coalition on the Environment and Jewish Life's Renewable Energy Campaign. This is the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Classes this week. Are there any questions? At 2:00, all of times mentioned will be West Coast times. At 2:00, we will have a basic class on the 72 names of God. At Monday at 4:30, we will have a mini Zohar class. At 7:00, we will continue our preparation for Hanukkah with the teaching of the Nir Yehudim meditation, which is good to do during that Hanukkah candle lighting, as well as the Shabbat candle lightings. Tuesday at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class, and at 7:00 is a Tikkuni Zohar class. Wednesday at 4:30 is a mini Zohar class, and 7:00 questions and answers. Thursday at 4:30 is Advanced Reincarnation, and at 7:00 is our Zohar class. Saturday evening, we will do Havdalah at 6 p.m. and a Zohar class at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, there will be an unusual class at 11:00, excuse me, at 8:00 for the reading of the Torah during Hanukkah. It's a short class, about a half hour. And then at 10:30 West Coast time, will be our normal Sunday class. I wish you all a good week, Shavua Tov, a happy Hanukkah, And I look forward to hearing from all of you with respect to the mitzvah of giving tzedakah during this period of Hanukkah. But I also look forward to knowing that you share properly all the time, not just during Hanukkah. Shalom to all.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom. Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.